This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is my man right here.
Live from Los Angeles, home of Super Bowl 56.
Dak, I don't want to take over this interview, but...
How about them Cowboys?
You know...
Now, you've never met diehard Cowboys fans before
in
your life.
No, first one.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Commanders head coach, Ron Rivera. Former Saints head coach, Sean Payton. 49ers quarterback Trey Lance, plus Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. All right. We have reached the Friday of Super Bowl 56 week here in Los Angeles, California. Let me straighten my pocket square. Yeah, everybody, welcome to this Friday program. We've got ourselves two coaches coming in here, two of them who have won a Super Bowl. One as a player. And one as a coach, and Ron Rivera is the one who won as a player. He actually coached in one, Super Bowl 50. And then Sean Payton is making his way to this here studio. He won himself a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 44. Dude, isn't that amazing? That's 12 years ago.
It's not
unbelievable.
A long time,
and Sean Payton is making his way here. I chatted with Trey Lance yesterday on Zoom, the 49ers quarterback. I guess the starting quarterback for 2022 on this program. And then a guy who is the only one who went so damn Hollywood at the NFL Honors last night that he wore sunglasses throughout the entire affair, Travis Kelce. This will be great. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how are you?
What's happening, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Hey,
good
Rich.
To see you over there. TJ Jefferson has already lit the candle. And as if yesterday's show... in which Troy Aikman and Dak Prescott both arrived in studio and saw your whole setup.
The whole thing.
With the How About Them Cowboys grease board and the Cowboys blanket and the Cowboys shrine that you built there. And the also the velvet rope that you put up for people that need to get in your club to even have a conversation about football with you because of the number of Super Bowls the Cowboys have won, which is, you know, the past tense. But as if that can't be enough for you, as if James Harden being a 76er now yesterday couldn't be enough for you. Future Cowboys head coach Sean Payton coming in studio.
I mean, it's Rich, it's like the luck of the Irish, only I'm not Irish, so I don't even know what to say.
Be careful when he comes in here. Don't tamper. No tampering.
I'm going to keep it.
No tampering, please.
I'll just sit back here and just watch.
Please, no tampering. Again, the players are done with their media availability. As a matter of fact, the last time I think you're going to be seeing... Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp and Andrew Whitworth are the NFL honors. That's it. They're now going to be sequestered, you know, as far away as possible. And then, the coaches speak today. It's their last media availability. I don't know if due to COVID, we're going to see the highly, which if you will, awkward press conference where they bring the Lombardi Trophy and both
and
coaches
both there like,
and they don't want to look at it. They don't want to touch it. They don't take pictures with it. I don't know if the advent of Zoom and this pandemic will prevent anybody from doing that. But at any rate, long story short, this is it. I mean, this is
it's
it.
Go time. It's go time.
This is it. The weekend is here and the NFL honors is in the books. And normally NFL Honors is Saturday night, and what gets announced on NFL Honors night kind of gets consumed by Super Sunday and, you know, what's called the game. But now we had an Honors on a Thursday night, and I think this is the way it's going to be from now on because it not only went so well, it was such a great show, and obviously I was there last night for anybody who saw it. It was incredible.
Your suit looked great, man.
I appreciate that. And, now we know who's the MVP and the coach of the year and the Walter Payton man of the year and the offensive player of the year and the comeback player of the year. And obviously we also know who the MVP is. And now we have a full day to discuss it. I have no problem with Aaron Rodgers winning his fourth MVP. I would have voted for him. I did take stock in what Tom Brady did. If this was a full season award, postseason, if, like, say, they took the vote Monday and told everybody, all 50 voters, you got to get this thing in the next, 24 hours, 48 hours. Or if you could even say after Championship Sunday, get your votes in right now prior to the Super Bowl. If it was a full postseason award, Joe Burrow would be the MVP of the NFL season, I think. Regular season, on top of it, postseason, I think Joe Burrow would have won the MVP for this year, but it's a regular season award. I would have absolutely Joe Burrow
would have won
it.
You don't think Cooper Kupp would be MVP?
I don't.
Interesting.
I think it's a quarterback-driven sport, a quarterback-driven award.
Put that up as a point.
And I would have, put it
up
there.
Why don't we just make it best quarterback? Because it's kind of ridiculous that they're the only ones who ever win this.
No, it's not true. I mean, but look, man, there's only one player who touches the ball every single snap.
Yeah, the center.
And the quarterback. And you're not going to give the center the MVP award.
Well, that's a shame.
So, by the way, if you're hearing, that's a very loud talking Mike Del Tufo checking people in,
You're doing a great job, Mike.
Definitely, there's one thing for sure that Mike will never do is just talk low. But,
Never.
Yeah, it's a quarterback-driven award. Joe Burrow would be in the MVP if everybody had a vote starting from Championship Sunday all the way to now. But Aaron Rodgers had a remarkable season. And everything that went on with his immunization and all that business, to me, had nothing to do with whether he was the best and most valuable player in the NFL. I thought what he did this year, after everything that had gone on, what he has done this year was worthy of him being the MVP, period.
He should have thanked Jordan Love, though, last night, right?
Which is what? the one game in which he missed, it made him look more valuable?
Jordan Love was absolutely terrible. And so it made Rodgers be like, okay, well, maybe they do really need him.
Well, I know that your metric of valuable is if remove him from the team, how do they look? And to me, that is a metric that would apply to anybody. What would the team look like without Brady? What would the team look like without any quarterback?
Well, in that
what
regard,
would the team
Rich, look like? One of the guys led the league in every passing stat and had the same number of wins. So why is Rodgers more valuable than Brady?
I don't know if he did. We can also come up with various statistics in which Rodgers was better than Brady. But the ones that are the most obvious, which is wins, which really isn't a quarterback stat, and passing yards, passing touchdowns. Yeah, Brady had the better year and also was much older. But I would have voted for Rodgers. I would have. And then one thing that I saw last night with my own two eyes is that when Rodgers saw Matt LaFleur for the first time, ran right over to the guy, gave him the biggest bear hug. They had a whole big conversation, him and his speech, thanking Matt LaFleur. And
he loved him.
By the way, and ragging him on his how his eyebrows are done.
Jealousy.
I know, right? You saw Aaron Jones. I mean, he has no problem with these guys who he's played with. And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking to myself, is he just, seeing them for the first time in a couple weeks and he just loves the guys and he wants to see them again? Or does he have some sort of sense of this thing's over? And I love these guys, and they're part of my past because he says he said afterwards that he's going to take some time. He's going to come up with an answer. He's not going to drag this thing out. And the question is, what's going to happen between now and then that would change his mind?
Right.
There's going to be no moves made on the roster. No moves made on the roster between now and the new league year.
No.
I mean, he could maybe hear from, the home office in Green Bay, what they plan to do. I honestly don't know what the variables may be other than the fact that he's thinking about it when he's at the honors or, at a pro-am or what have you. I honestly do not know at all. But the one thing that's for sure, it's his relationships with everybody that was from his team and his coach last night, when there were no cameras on, was warm, affectionate, and 1,000% genuine. And I honestly don't know what to make of it, but we all have our popcorn ready, don't we?
It did sound like, in a weird way, he was kind of saying goodbye to everyone.
Well,
Green Bay related.
Or he's just basically saying the door is open in the same way that Brady opened it for his own retirement, that he thinks he knows what he's going to do, but you never say never.
Yeah.
And the question is what is he thinking he's going to do? We're all assuming it's him to move on. But the Packers have already come out and publicly said, and Mark Murphy's posting, the president of the Packers, that he wants him back. It truly is anybody's guess as we are now getting ready for Super Sunday. But as last year, where the chilliness was palpable, that is not there at all, even though they didn't last as long this postseason than they did last year.
Yeah.
And had a highly disappointing finish. I also don't have a problem with Coach of the Year. I thought Vrabel was stupendous in getting the Tennessee Titans to the one seed in the AFC. If this was a season-long award and you include the postseason in it, Zach Taylor would absolutely be Coach of the Year of the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals would have swept the major awards last night, I would think. And that includes Andrew Whitworth being the Walter Payton Man of the Year, former Bengal, and his speech was just so incredibly moving. And it was great to see him in person. Same thing with Cooper Kupp. We really haven't seen that in Super Bowl towns.
We have not.
Where the players are playing in the Super Bowl and winning the award. Remember Julian Edelman accepted for Brady that one year?
Yeah.
And he said LFG, and that didn't make the broadcast because they were an hour ahead of the live broadcast. And that somehow, interestingly enough, hit the cutting room floor. Last night was live. So it was good to see them there last night. The Hall of Fame class, let's get to them.
Let's get to it.
The Hall of Fame class, based on the immediate reaction that I have seen, is disappointment. Disappointment from fans and many members of the media. Disappointment. And the reason why, I imagine, is all the first-time eligibles didn't make it. None of them. These are all guys that got passed up in their first chance. And the guys include Andre Johnson, who is without a doubt the best receiver in the history of the Houston Texans and will be for a very long time. Certainly now that DeAndre Hopkins has moved on and was absolutely considered by all of his peers as head and shoulders above virtually everyone else. DeMarcus Ware, one of the greatest pass rushing, if you will, outside linebackers. He didn't make it either. And when a Hall of Fame class is missing first ballot Hall of Famers, it feels less than. I'll be very honest. I've been covering a bunch of them. But what this class is, in my estimation, even though Andre Johnson and also DeMarcus Ware didn't make it, just to name a couple of the first ballot guys. What is, in fact, missing is, what in fact this class is a group of players who, even though you may not have had them on your fantasy team, because they're not position players like that, or may not have been somebody that you think at the time was the best of the best of the best, but over the history of their careers, amongst their peers, considered exactly that. Absolutely. You ask any member of the HOF, certainly there last night, and I heard them all talking about it. Bryant Young.
Yep.
Beast.
Richard Seymour.
Monster.
Man. Okay. The Pats run a third.
Sam Mills. Okay.
God bless.
Obviously, a lot of people don't remember him, and he's been gone a while.
He was the man, though.
And Leroy Butler, Mr. Lambeau Leap himself.
Leap, man.
Okay, these guys, along with Tony Boselli as well.
Who's been waiting a while.
These guys, all of them considered by their peers, dominant players worthy of selection in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, are there other Hall of Famers who feel differently? Maybe so. But I didn't hear it last night in the green room, getting ready to front that announcement. And it's kind of like a lot of house cleaning in that respect. Yeah. There's a bunch of people that have been waiting. And I know that should include Torrey Holt. I think he is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And they're really particular, these selectors, very particular, very, very particular on bestowing first ballot Hall of Fame status for some reason on wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Like Andre Johnson, is he one of the best of his generation? Check.
Absolutely.
Is he the best in the history of his franchise? Check. Is he better than Randy Moss and Jerry Rice or first ballot Hall of Famers? That's when some selectors will go, got to sit there and think about that one, because when you do that, you are bestowing this person with the status equal to those in that hall. And for some reason, that's not afforded to quarterbacks or defensive ends.
That was a big issue when T.O. came up. T.O. has all the numbers, all deserving of being a first ballot. Waited two times, got in on the third try.
And that's why I think he wound up being at the UT Chattanooga to announce it, gave his speech, which is kind of crazy that he did not allow himself. And I haven't seen him back there yet either. No Canes either. I know there are some Canes in the Hall of Fame that are kind of like, what gives there? No Reggie Wayne. He was up for it. And Devin Hester. Devin Hester not making it either. And the reason for that, if I have any interpretation, would be folks do not consider in the selectors room returners deserving, I guess, of first ballot Hall of Fame status, even though if this was the Hall of Fame of returners, and it should be because they're football players, Devin Hester is that greatest ever at that position, especially since I remember being there in 2007, 2006 calendar year in Miami. It was Bears, it was Colts, and this is, you can't tell the story of the Super Bowl without this, even though the Bears got waxed in the rest of that game with Rex and now Texans head coach Lovie Smith. The whole stadium, the entire stadium was sitting there saying, no way are the Colts going to kick this thing off to Devin Hester. And there is no way they're going to let him do his thing. And there's no way, even if they somehow let him do his thing, that he would absolutely come up with a kick return for a touchdown to open the Super Bowl. Like, we're never going to see that. And the greatest moments, individual achievements in the history of sports, or wait a minute, just to make sure that I sound like it's highfalutin, in the history of sport, the greatest ones are when you expect something to happen and it then does. How rare is that? Yeah. And Hester did it.
Did it.
And it still didn't matter. But, you know, on that night when it all came out in the wash, Hester's going to get in one day, but he's not a first ballot guy. And I know his advocates are real ticked off about that.
Coach Prime being one of his biggest advocates.
Dick Vermeil, speaking of coaches, he totally deserves this. Just Google his resume, kids, and just see how far back he goes in this sport. 1960. I mean, this man goes back 60 years, and the number of coaches he has crossed paths with or hired him and what he has done and what he did in Philadelphia and then him coming back and leading St. Louis to the podium and, you know, his career in broadcasting, talking about football. I mean, he could be as a broadcaster in the Hall of Fame wing. And just a dynamite human, dynamite human. And his speech might be the one most looked forward to when it's all said and done. Because he's going to cry.
He's definitely going
to
cry.
And we all love the emotion of it, and this man wears it on his sleeve, and I can't wait to see it. So congratulations to him and his family. That's my take on the Hall of Fame class. Let's take a break. Ron Rivera is here, and I think he's got gear with him. He's got it on, and I think he's got something with him. So Ron Rivera, Sean Payton, and then we're also going to have our friend Travis Kelce, and also Trey Lance of the 49ers on the program. TJ's big-ass grab bag, Super Bowl plays, correct? Top
yes,
five
sir.
Super Bowl plays of all time.
Impossible list, but
and
tried it.
What's more likely?
Let's go.
Super Bowl 56 preview
Super
edition
Bowl
of
edition.
What's More Likely.
Come on.
And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We are back with so much more. Our first guest on our final day of week. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
In the Super Bowl that we will never forget, Super Bowl 56 week here in Los Angeles, California, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, and also one of the few guys who's ever coached in a Super Bowl and also won one, Ron Rivera. Good to see you, Coach.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Rich. Thank you.
You got the W yep. Commander's jacket on, huh?
Yeah, we got the swag. You know, okay. It's a, kind of a neat deal. And when I put it on for the first time, I kind of had a flashback back to high school.
That's right. It does look like a Letterman jacket yes. that you've got on.
Yeah, they did a nice job. And, you know, the really cool thing also, they have the logo on the back, the shield. It's kind of a neat deal that they did some really nice things.
Well, you can't be a team in the Mid-Atlantic without a shield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everybody, that's kind of like a Maryland thing,
yeah.
right?
Oh, very much so. It's kind of cool, though. It really is.
Okay, fantastic. Well, congrats on the name change and all of that. When you think of the Super Bowl, what memories
hit you? Right off the bat, I go back to Super Bowl for the 1985 Super Bowl Bears. I really do. I go back and I think about all those guys. I think about Coach Dicka and just the team and the city of Chicago.
Did you do the shuffle?
No.
How did you, Ron Rivera, miss the Super Bowl shuffle?
I hear that a lot. Now, here's what happened.
Yes.
So it was the Monday night game against Miami, the only game we lost.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the airport. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're flying back after it. After our first loss, our only loss.
I guess.
And Willie Gault's going through the plane telling everybody, hey, we're going to do this video. It's for charity. It's, you know, it's going to be called the Super Bowl Shuffle. And there's a group of us going, dude, come on now. We just got beat. We're going to land at 5:30 in the morning, and we got to go straight downtown to a studio. So if you really look at the Super Bowl Shuffle, there were several guys that had to be blue screened in.
Yeah.
I mean, Walter Payton was, Mike Singletary was, Jim McMahon, William Perry. Not everybody, you know, went that day anyways. And so a group of us aren't in it. And so just because of the fact that it happened right after we lost.
So if you had won that Monday night
football. Oh, we'd all been there. Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt in my mind.
And so what you're saying is because it was off of a loss,
yep.
A late night flight, and a quick turnaround in an early morning. So when I was looking at their dancing and I thought, looks like they're sleepwalking. They literally were
still asleep.
Because I thought the dancing was always terrible,
yeah.
but they were half asleep.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. And so still you wouldn't get green screened in or blue screened in or anything like that?
I wasn't at that level yet.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's some very special guys they green screened in. You know, guys that really, truly, if you look at them, I mean, just, you know, the iconic guys, you know, William Perry, Jim McMahon,
sure.
Walter Payton, Mike Singletary. I mean, just guys that, you know, that were, well, you know, they were A-list guys.
Right. So winning that Super Bowl, we all know that Buddy got carried off.
Yep.
Did Dicka really get pissed off about that?
No, I don't think so. I think in the moment, I think we really were. I mean, it was such a celebration
right.
that you really, you know, you were just happy for everybody. You really were.
Okay. And then Fridge scoring that touchdown. What was that like when he scored?
That was kind of cool. You know, it was. And it's funny though, because if you ask Coach Dicka today, his biggest regret was that Walter didn't score.
Right.
Yeah.
Did anybody realize that at the time?
No, I don't think anybody realized it. And that was unfortunate because, you know, for all the greatness and everything that Walter had, that's the one thing that I think, you know, he thinks about.
Yeah, and I just, were you at NFL Honors last night? Did you go
no,
there?
No, okay. Unfortunately not. No,
I bet because you probably have to take particular good care of yourself, right, around other people.
I was in bed by 8:30.
Okay, so to me, again, the fact that the last award – at NFL Honors, yes, is a Walter Payton Man of the Year award. It's just a beautiful moment every mm-hmm. single year. What memory of sweetness do you have that might, tie this maybe a little bit together here, Ron?
Really was the way he treated people. And I will never forget the day he met my mother and father. We were playing Dallas, and Dallas, it's the game we beat in 44. Where's your
these are over your right shoulder. He's your right.
Huh? It was the Super Bowl year. It was 85. We were playing in Dallas. One of the things that I had got written into my contract was that the team would fly my parents to an away game and treat them, you know, like kings. I mean, mm-hmm. kings and queens. I mean, they put them up in the hotel. They paid for all their meals. They paid for their tickets. Walter just happened to be walking by when I greeted my parents, and he came over and introduced them. He gave my mom a hug, and he turned to my dad and says, "Gino, let's go buy a beer." So he took my dad and got him a beer in the bar. And just the way he it was like he knew them forever. And that, to me, is the essence of the Walter Payton Man of the Year, is that you treat everybody special. And so when, you know, I had one of my players won it. Thomas Davis won it. Mm-hmm. And that day, it's one of those things that I was so proud of Thomas, because I knew who Walter was, and Thomas epitomized Walter, in my opinion.
So, yeah, because it's one thing to just say, hi, nice to meet you. Maybe, you know, obviously there weren't camera phones back in that day.
Yeah.
But, you know, take a picture if necessary. Yeah. But then to say, hey, let's go grab a beer.
And then several years later, when I was working with the National Hispanic Scholarship Foundation, we did the culmination tournament in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and Walter came with us down there. And my father, being of Puerto Rican descent, I flew my father out for the event. He saw my dad and said, "Gino, let's go get a beer." And that's what they did. They went in and got a beer.
So now it started a tradition.
Yeah. So, you know, anytime they, you know, it was, I told my dad, I said, "You know, just so you know, Walter doesn't always drink beer all the time, Dad."
Yes.
You know, but it was kind of cool because he got to tell his brothers, you know, in Puerto Rico, "Hey, you know, Walter Payton bought me a beer."
Yeah. I saw his son last night, too.
Oh, it just, Jarrett? Yeah. Oh, what a. Good dude. Right. Good young man.
You know, and it just means so much. And then, you know, for Whitworth now to play the Super Bowl with that patch on his, because that patch is pretty
That patch
sweet,
means
man.
A lot to a lot of, it really does. It honestly, truly does. And I think it's something that the league really likes to point to, mm-hmm. because it really does show that there are guys that are truly committed to giving back to their communities. And we should, because, you know, they support us. They buy the tickets. They buy the merchandise. They cheer for us, boo us on occasion. Mm-hmm. But for the truth of the matter is, we should also give back. And so to see the players do these things that they're doing today, I think it's great. I really do.
Washington Commanders head coach Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show. I got to get used to saying that.
I do too.
I got used to hearing it, right? So is the quarterback of the 2022 Commanders on your roster? Right
well,
now.
That's part of what we're working through. You know, can the guys that we have on the roster ascend to be that kind of guy? You know, is that guy out there in the draft? Is he in free agency? Can we make a trade for a guy? Those are the things that we're working through right now. And I know this because, you know, Martin Mayhew, Marty Herney, those guys, they're working on these things right now. And when we get back, that'll be one of the topics of conversation as we prepare for the combine.
So are you already grinding tape on kids at the college level, getting some footage back from the Senior Bowl, things like that?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
You know, we were represented at every one of these bowl games, these college bowl games. We had guys watching, particularly the quarterback position, and really working through these things. And like I said, you know, we're not going to just stop on the college level. We're going to look at the free agents. We're going to look and see what else is out there for us.
Okay. And so what do you do now in this off season at the combine and things of that nature? Walk me through what your role is as the HC of the, I guess, the WC here.
The biggest thing we do, more so than anything else, that I think is one of the most important things is when you get an opportunity to interview the players. You know, we interview them a little differently, I think, than some of the teams.
What do you mean?
Well, one of the things we like to do is we like to incorporate tape. We want to hear them talk about what's on tape. You know, we try to gauge as much as we can.
Showing them their plays from the last year? Or how far back do you even go with this?
No, we'll go to last year. You know, it's not all good. We're looking for things. We're listening for certain answers. And so as we go through that process, that helps us. It really does. And then, you know, once we decide which guys we want to bring in, we'll do the same thing. When we're allowed to have the visits, right. Hopefully we'll be allowed to have the visits in person. I'd much rather visit in person. And if we can fly guys into our city and give them an opportunity to sit down and talk to them and listen to them and then show tape and go through that as well. You know, because you really can't prepare for all the tape. They can prepare for the Q&A. Okay, they can rehearse all that, but they can't look at all their tape and be able to answer all those questions.
You have a good example of maybe someone you drafted anywhere that you've done this with. The answer from the tape was just like, okay.
Yeah. We did it with Cam Newton and because when I was in Carolina and he was our first pick.
Yeah.
And we sat down and we showed, you know, the highlights obviously, but then we saw some of the lowlights. And one of the things that I always appreciated about Cam was he took responsibility right off the bat. And as soon as the play came on, he put that big smile on. He said, oh, that was my fault. And I'm watching tape, and I kept thinking to myself, I don't know if that was your fault because I thought that receiver could have pushed that a little bit higher. But he had thrown it, and it was one of the few interceptions he threw that year. Mm-hmm. But he just had that smile and took that responsibility, and he said, yeah, I could have put that out in front of him a little bit more. You know, so when you get guys that want to take responsibility, when you get guys that want to take the pressure off their teammates, that's an important thing. That really is. But right away, he looked at the tape and said, oh, you know what? They came out, they were in cover two, and I threw that ball out over there, and the corner was able to work underneath it. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, but that guy could have pushed it. Instead of running a flatter, you know, 7, he should have taken it higher. Mm-hmm. And so you get that sense that he understood, he knew. At the same time, though, he didn't want to put it on his guy. He took the hit, and so I that was impressive to me.
Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show, and that was the previous to this weekend only matchup between two first overall drafted quarterbacks facing each other in the Super Bowl was Super Bowl 50. How do you see this one playing out this weekend?
You know, to me, it's going to be if one of two things happen. You know, watching this year's playoffs, which I thought were phenomenal, some great games. The one thing that Cincinnati did struggle with was protecting the quarterback.
Right.
And with this pass rush the Rams have, that could make an immediate impact in the game. But if they can protect the quarterback, if they can run the ball early on, I think Cincinnati can slow that pass rush down a little bit. That'll work to their benefit. So it's one of two things. If the pass rush is working for the Rams, that could be pretty deadly. On the inverse, if they can run the ball early on and set the tone and tempo – and take the pressure off of Joe Burrow early, mm-hmm. I think it could go Cincinnati's way.
So now, you know, obviously you didn't have a shot at Burrow, but you evaluate everybody. Yeah. So what was your evaluation of Burrow coming out of college?
We really liked him a lot. We believed he had the mental ability to learn, grasp, understand right away. And he had the skill set. I mean, you know, you could tell that on tape. Didn't know he'd be there in his second year. But, you know, we felt he was a guy that had that type of ability, had the types of quality that you're looking for in the quarterback.
Would McMahon have – did he smoke cigars too? Did Jim smoke cigars and talk about his ice and stuff like that or what, like he's doing right now?
He did. You know, Jimmy Mack was special. He really was. A tremendous leader, a guy that you would want on your team because he's that kind of guy. He's a foxhole guy. You know, you want him in that foxhole with you because – Jimmy Mack was a guy that was going to find a way to win, and he was really one of those guys that I think was the epitome of team guy because he did a lot of things for us, and really helped us get to where we wanted to be.
Did you see the headband the day he wrote Roselle on it before he put it on? Did you,
yeah.
Did you see?
Oh yeah, in the locker room. I mean, he had a few of them. He was going to wear.
What do you mean he had a few of them?
He had, you know, remember he had a couple of messages. He had the one for his teammate and that he put on as well. So, you know, he Jimmy Mack was a guy that loved having a good time. He always had fun. He really did, and that was one of the cool things about it. You know, when things were tough, when I remember one time in training camp. Mm-hmm. It was a hot day. It was a brutal day. And it was, you know, we had like 4 or 5 straight days of double days in pads. That's a thing of the past, you know.
Yes, indeed.
So I think it was about after the fourth one. And it was a hot afternoon. And so we're kind of going through it. And Coach was on us. Dicko was getting after us pretty good. And Jimmy Mack yelled out, hey, iron. What the heck? Why are you getting on the guys, man? It's a brutal day. He says, oh, yeah? What do you think? I think you got to let us go in. Take the afternoon off. And so Dendicka just turned around and said, all right, guys, take it in. He said, but don't be late for these meetings or I'll get after you. And that's kind of how Jimmy, he would stick up for us. And it was just one of those things he felt. Now, as a coach, I wonder if they didn't set that up where, you know, I mean.
What do you mean?
You know, every now and then you have one of your guys step up and that way, you know, he's your leader. And
Come on. Look at that. That's some next level, you know, stuff right there.
Yeah, a little mental warfare.
So now you say as a coach, so is on occasion. Has this happened for you? Or you walk up to your guy? Or?
I won't say that directly.
Okay, I don't want you to give up the trick of your trades here. Yeah. Okay,
but you know, but again, seriously though, the one thing about Jimmy was Jim McMahon was to me the ultimate teammate.
Before I let you go, I do want to just ask the question about, you know, you are the coach, everything that's going on with your organization. Mm-hmm. How do you parse all this out? I mean, how do you handle all this?
Well, the biggest thing, more than anything else, is that to me, when everything comes down to football, and all the other stuff that's not football specific, you know, I kind of categorize as that's interesting for us as football. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other stuff that when I step away from football, then, you know, that to me is, then it becomes important. It becomes something that I need to handle. I need to take care of. Mm-hmm. But the football stuff, I try to stay focused on. I try to get the players to understand, you know, what's important and what's interesting. Mm-hmm. And if we can keep the focus on the things that we need to compartmentalize, separate, it gives us a chance to be able to focus in on playing.
Coach, appreciate you coming here.
Before I forget.
Okay, what do you got? Is that a bag?
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's a little swag bag.
Okay, let me see this. Hold on. Very good. Thank you. Ooh. Very good. It's a swag bag.
Yeah.
All right. Washington. It says Washington football team on it.
This is the big moment. There you go.
Commander's lid. Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I got that.
There you go.
It's a pretty sweet hat. Look at this, Chris. Look at that right there.
You know that looks so good. I mean, if you put that over the top of that star back there.
Oh.
Well, now, TJ, sit down for a second, TJ, will you please? You got this hat.
Has TJ ever given you anything with a star on it?
He has never given me anything with a star on it. I now have gotten something with a W on it. This is very nice. Thank you. So it's okay that you can talk to him. I don't know if you see that velvet rope that's in between those bags over your right shoulder. You see what that is?
Oh, yeah.
That is because there's been a lot of cowboy hating his way on this show. Uh-huh. He has a tier system as to who he allows to talk to him.
Okay. That's why he hasn't answered.
Wow. Well, you're allowed to talk to him, though. You're allowed to talk to him, Coach.
You're in the tier one, Coach. Washington football team has three Super Bowls.
He's got a tier system of people who are like, it's up on the screen there. Okay, if you have three or more wins in the Super Bowl, let's talk, you're in the VIP. 1 to 2 wins, you're in the club. So congratulations, Coach Ron Rivera. You had no idea coming here to the Rich Eisen Show today. You're in the club.
Okay, you know, had you
somehow, unfortunately, lost Super Bowl 20, you'd have to wait in line.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, also, Rich, like, Coach, Washington football team, they do have three
Washington Commanders.
Commanders. They do have three Super Bowl wins, so they're in VIP.
Oh, and Ron personally has one himself.
So that's what I'm talking about. So, Coach, welcome.
I appreciate that.
He's clicking you open right there. If you want to, you know what I'm saying?
Have a seat. We're going to look over and talk some football as well.
I appreciate that. I really do. Thank you.
Now you may go forth into your Friday, sir. Thanks for coming with all the swag. I always appreciate you calling
it.
And, of course, you and your wife, your lovely wife, helping with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and your run. I'm going to do it again in about 2 months' time. You know,
we'll be there to support you.
I really appreciate that, and your dog too, I hope, as well. So
thank you.
Honestly, the videos you put out there and what you've done and financially supporting it. There we go, right here. Okay, we got it up right here. What's your dog?
That's Tahoe.
Tahoe.
He loves everything about balls.
There you go.
Go Tahoe.
Wow.
Dude can't help himself.
That ain't happening for me. But maybe three should happen. Should somebody roll a ball out? Maybe I'll run faster.
I don't know. Maybe
Tahoe should run with you, Rich.
Roll a bottle of wine or something, maybe.
No, Tahoe, if Tahoe runs with me, it'll be just like those simulcams where somebody's right off the screen and I'm barely out of my stance. Thanks for coming on, Coach.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. That's Ron Rivera right here at Riverboat Ron HC on Twitter and Instagram. Still to come, Sean Payton's going to be joining us in studio as well here on this Friday of Super Bowl 56 week.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, helmets, shoulder pads, mouthpieces, vaccinations. BioNTech and Pfizer remind you that football season is at its best when you help protect yourself. Hey, NFL honors last night. Heck of a show. Keegan-Michael Key is so
very funny. The
funny
opening
and talented.
Was awesome.
And,
it was great.
Oh, man, it was great. And to include Gronk and Dak and Roger Goodell and his opening number and singing and all of that business, just awesome. And the way this thing works is if you are a presenter, and I was honored to be asked at NFL Honors to front the announcement for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And when that happens, they come get you. They, meaning the NFL Honors production, comes and gets you and then puts somebody very well dressed in your seat.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Susie was my plus one. Sorry, Chris. And, you know, we were right there in row two, right behind Josh Allen. And I told him down in front a couple times. He's a very tall man. Susie's sitting next to Mark Andrews of the Ravens. It comes time for me to be taken backstage. And I'm backstage. And at this point in time, all of the 32 nominees for the Walter Payton Man of the Year are lined up backstage, getting ready to come out on stage. And I pass by Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mike Evans, who I have not seen in a very long time. And I said, "Hey, Mike, how you doing? We have a nice chit chat." And I just said to him, "Look, you're a very talented man. So just a couple of two unsolicited cents. Stop throwing footballs into the stands, okay? Will you please?" And he took it seriously. He looked at me and goes, "I will never stop." "I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it a long time, and I am not stopping." And I'm like, I know that, but you threw Tom Brady's last career touchdown pass into the stands. And his response to me was, "Yeah, I didn't know it was his last touchdown pass when he did it. Like, we're trying to come back, and I caught that pass, and we're coming back, and I'm throwing that as far as they can throw it."
He's got a good point there, I guess.
Because I had no idea. Because I had no idea at the time.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And I said to him, I'm like, "Okay, but do you know where that football is right now?" He goes, "I have no idea. Nobody has any idea. Nobody. No, where is that football?
It's on film somewhere.
It's not on film
because it goes out of frame.
Dude, he scores guys over Jalen Ramsey, and he threw that thing. That had to be 30 rows deep.
It was pretty deep.
I'm saying someone in that crowd, everyone's got their phone running all the time. Yes. There's video of that
now,
ball going.
That
it's out
marked?
There somewhere. We just don't know who has
marked.
It.
They're marked.
It's definitely marked.
And
marked.
Somebody's got Tom Brady's last career touchdown pass.
In a plot away.
And what?
Big bucks.
Yeah.
I know.
That's
well,
I mean, figures, man.
No, it's G5, so whoever's taking Tom Brady's place, guess what? It's going. You throw it to Evans, it's going in the stands.
Your first touchdown
pass?
That's
what he said. He looked at me, took it seriously. Oh. I will never stop.
Oh, Trask.
I've been
first,
doing it before Brady. I'm going to be.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your so first then, touchdown, don't throw it to Mike Evans.
So here's the greatest now.
Yeah,
okay,
right?
So now hold on a minute. All right. This is great. You're going to love this. So now they take you through the back, and now through this, you know, created with piping and curtains and whatever, you go through the curtains.
No.
You go through the curtains in the back, and then it's like this small little green room area with a bar, And that's where all of the Hall of Famers who are set to announce the current class of the Hall of Fame are all hanging out. And I'm now hanging out with them. And it's Favre and Kurt Warner and Steve Young and Bruce Smith and Emmett Smith. They're all there. And one of the people who's working the area for the YouTube theater goes up to Bruce Smith. I swear to you.
Uh-oh.
She says to him, I am a huge fan of yours. I saw you on Family Feud.
Oh, God.
At which point, I said to her and to Bruce Smith, I'm like, oh, a lot of people have seen Bruce Smith on Family Feud. At which point, Steve Young goes, what do you mean?
Oh, no. Oh.
And I say to Young, Bruce Smith starts asking, and I say to Steve Young, I'm like, Steve, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to tell you or for you to just watch it.
Watch it.
Once again, this is what happened on Family Feud with Bruce Smith. Go ahead. You got
if
that?
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a teddy. What the did he say?
So. Sure enough, Steve goes, I'll Google it.
Oh, gosh.
And I haven't I don't see him for another couple minutes. Now we're all backstage right behind the curtain on the other side of which is the actual stage. And they're all lined up getting ready to go on the air. And Steve Young is watching this video on full blast.
Oh, God.
On full blast.
What?
Because he doesn't know how loud his phone is.
Oh, gosh.
I guess. And people are now turning around seeing this thing. And he looks at me, he's like, you're not kidding. And Young's like, what's he thinking? And I'm like, I don't know. Bruce is standing right there. You can go ahead and ask him.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
You're welcome, Steve Young. You're welcome. Hour 2 with Sean Payton coming up.